I want to ask, how did you feel? You mentioned that you had a new bride, your wife that you're still with today. So congratulations for staying together for so long. But she gave you the support, and you mentioned about nightmares. How did you cope? How was your mindset at that point?
It was very difficult, needless to say. I mean, everybody that's experienced combat and war has PTSD to some degree. Some of it is really bad, and I had it really bad, and I knew I had it really bad, but there were only two ways to deal with it. Either you could go to VA, and they would give you a lot of drugs and give you a lot of counseling. And many of my good friends did that. And it was probably good for them. But for me, I decided I just wanted to stay busy instead. And so that's how I set a course on college and a continuation of staying busy and not having any downtime. And so I structured my entire life around having no downtime. And that's how I dealt with my PTSD.
Okay. And did you know you had PTSD?
Did
you get diagnosed, or did you just tell yourself that
no.
What I'm having, what I'm experiencing?
I never went to a doctor for it, never went to the VA. But I've got all the symptoms my good friends have, every single one of them. Most of them are on 100% disability for PTSD. I tell them all the time, I'm just as crazy as you are, and you're getting all this money every month. but that's okay. You know, that was their choice to go that route. I just preferred not to be officially designated as having PTSD. So
okay.
I just sucked it up and just stayed busy, and that's how I dealt with it.
And for people that are not in the U.S., you've mentioned VA a couple of times. Is that veterans?
I'm sorry, that is a Veterans Association. That's the group that's supposed to take care of the veterans here. We got many veterans hospitals, and if you're a military veteran, that's where you go to get help and to get medical care, whether it's physical or mental.
Okay. Good. That's good to know. We don't have that in the UK. We've got a wonderful NHS that's helped us all through this pandemic. But there is sadly very next to nothing for veterans, and we're still fighting and we're still trying to get the government. We've even got veterans within the government to try and help change legislations and other things like that. But yeah, the U.S. definitely look after their veterans in a much better way.
Well, that's sad to hear about the UK. I didn't understand, or I never knew that. So I hope you guys make some progress in that regard.
Yeah, fingers crossed. We've got a lot of charities that help us, you know, especially the ones with maybe physical impairments or disabilities in some way. Without those charities, a lot of them would be struggling even more. So, big contrast difference between the countries. My other question now is really cool to learn as well that you wanted to join back up essentially, but for the Navy. And when that happened with the headphones, how did you cope with that? Because I'm guessing that's another knock to your mental state.
I was devastated. I really was. And I was shocked. I had no idea that my hearing had been damaged. I knew that I had been knocked unconscious on more than one occasion from explosions. And, of course, I had been around an endless amount of rifle fire and incoming rounds. But on two occasions, I was literally knocked unconscious from the explosions. And I assume those are the ones that probably got my ears. But in any case, I was devastated. I had to work my way through that and decide what I was going to do. So after getting over it, which took a couple of weeks, I decided, well, I've gone this far. I can't quit now. So I could have gone back into the military in any branch I wanted and been an officer. I just couldn't fly an airplane. And I didn't want to go back in and be an infantry officer again. And I didn't want to just go serve on ship and be an officer on ship. So that's when I decided I would go the professional route and chose law school.
Okay. Any reason for that? Was there something you enjoyed about law? Or?
Well, no, not really. With an undergraduate degree, I basically had two choices. I could go to medical school, be a doctor, or I could go to law school and be a lawyer. And I was terrible in math. And you just can't be a doctor if you're bad math. And so that left being a lawyer. So I thought, well, okay, I'm going to give it a try. And so I took all the tests and I was able to get in. And I never liked law, didn't like law school, didn't like it after I got out, but I did it anyway. And it served me well through my life, and it kept me busy, which is what I needed to do.
Okay.
For my PTSD, I needed to stay busy, and law certainly did that.
Yeah. And just touching on the PTSD, it's definitely what I like to do, is keep busy.
Yes.
You know, I'm on 2 weeks vacation / holiday / leave, whatever you want to call it. And I was actually meant to be coming out to the States. But due to the craziness of the world and quarantine, blah, 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 I've opted out. And so I've kind of like filled these 2 weeks with everything from trips to the beach to I was at Goodwood the other day, which is a big racing circuit here in the UK. Meeting up with veterans and charities, which was awesome, to doing recordings like this with you. So keeping busy is probably a big way for others that are trying to live with PTSD. So I understand you 100%. Yeah.
Right. That's good. You're able to stay busy. Really, if you don't slow down, you don't have time to sit around and feel sorry for yourself. So.
That's it.
You got it. Yeah, you need to keep going. You know, I had a lot of good friends that just got on drugs and stayed on drugs, and I didn't like that. I didn't like what I saw there. So I think personally the best way is to stay busy and talk to other veterans. I can't talk to civilians. I can talk to veterans, and I think most veterans feel that way.
Yeah. Kind of a reason why I've done this podcast, you know, is to get connecting to everybody, let others listen to this conversation, maybe connect themselves. But I would never have met you if it wasn't for this show. So,
well, that's true.
It's doing awesome things. It's doing awesome things.
Well, I've enjoyed talking to you. And the civilians just don't understand, and it's podcasts like this that will help them understand.
Yeah.
I remember when I first came back, I wanted to talk, and but I discovered quickly that if I talked to civilians, even if they asked a question, I was asked one time, well, what's it like to shoot somebody? And I gave an answer, and there was stone silence. It was a very awkward moment. And I learned right away, well, you know, you just don't do that. You don't talk about stuff like that with people that don't understand. So I think podcasts like this are a good thing for everyone to help understand what it is we go through and what it's really, really like.
Yeah. And so you've left the military, you've gone back to college, and you've now gone to the lawyer school, passed all the tests, and now you've become a lawyer. So what was that like? You know, that's pretty much civilian life to the highest level in some ways, right? Or to at least the most difficult level for some.
It was difficult. I had court cases. I was in court a lot, and I did a lot of office practice work also. But I stayed busy, and I was fortunate enough to be able to purchase a ranch far enough away from my place of business so that I had to commute. And I wanted that because that would take more time out of my day. So I raised my kids on a ranch, on a real ranch, and drove to work and worked all day at work and drove home and then worked on the ranch. And so It was a good setup for me for my adjustment. But being a lawyer was never a natural thing for me, and I never particularly liked it. But it was something that kept me busy and provided a decent living, and so I did it.
How long did you do that for?
40 years.
Oh, 40 years.
40 years. I built a pretty large law firm, and we did mostly oil and gas work out in Texas and New Mexico, and we had quite a few lawyers, and it was quite a busy time. So I divided my time between my duties at the office and running a ranch at home.
So let me just understand this correctly. You not only became a lawyer, you created a lawyer firm. Is that right?
I did. Yes, sir.
That's mind blowing for me. And alongside that, you had your own ranch, which again we don't have in the UK, but I'm guessing it's a big open area with cattle. Is that me guessing here?
We had 500 acres with we had cattle, goats, horses, and a pig or two, and several dogs and cats, and all of the normal things you'd find on a ranch.
Oh my God, that's amazing! And you did all that in that 40-year time frame.
And the reason I built the firm up was because I never liked the status quo. I always wanted to go to the next level, so I did it one level at a time, and that's the way I built a large firm.
Wow, crazy. I mean,
it wasn't something that I wanted to do. It was just something I needed to do to stay busy by going and continuously stepping up.
Yeah. I mean, being law, being that area, I'm pretty sure you can't mention things about it. But with the ranch side of things, could you talk a little bit about that? Did you buy a little bit of land and then you grew over time? What do you want to share about your ranch?
Well, we started with 250 acres, and then I bought another 250 later on. But we built a house out there, and it was in the middle of nowhere, 23 miles to the closest town. And even that town was a very, very small town. We were really about 2 hours away from a major city. So it was in the middle of nowhere in Texas, and it was really good for my kids. They learned to do chores and ride horses and hunt and take care of things around the ranch. And so I think for the family, it was a really, really good thing. And it was also good for me. I love being on the ranch, and I love being out in the wilderness. It was a good escape from everything. So
it's good for you and good for the family.
It was.
Now, did anything you learn from your father when he was a vet help you during your time having a ranch?
I think lots of things that I learned. I pretty much knew how to take care of large animals, horses in particular. We had horses, and I pretty much knew how to take care of them. And I just knew how to do all the chores around a ranch. I mean, it's an endless array of chores, whether you're working on a windmill or cleaning out a water trough or running a piece of machinery to clean out a dirt tank. I mean, all those things go with owning a ranch, and it's all just hard labor. And so I learned a lot from my dad and from growing up out in the country. It's a good place to be.
Yeah, good place to be. It sounds it. And if I mean, I'm inviting myself here now, but if I'm ever in and around the area, I'm going to pop by and say, hey, Rick, remember me. I'm that British bloke from that podcast.
Well, you're welcome anytime, but I'm not at the ranch anymore. I sold it a couple of years ago when I moved to Georgia, because my daughter, she's an airline pilot, and she flies for Delta out of Atlanta, and she moved over here. And my son is an attorney, and he practices here. So
this was
the place for me. So I don't have a ranch anymore, but I have a nice house. You're welcome to come anytime.
Thank you very much. Now I understand why you said, yeah, you can come to the ranch.
<'Cause> you're sorry not about that.
That's fine. That's fine. And so you made this book. You wrote this book. Was it under your own steam, or did someone else say to you, you should think about writing a book? How did that come about? Oh, wait, we just wait for the Ring doorbell to finish. There we go, Ring doorbell. Other doorbells are available, by the way.
Sorry about that.
No, I'm not ever...
No, I wrote the book on my own. I wrote a novel with the same facts in it back in the 1980s, and I never published it. And I kept all my letters from home, in which I was extraordinarily graphic. And so between the novel that was very factual based and my letters, I was able to piece it back together pretty easily. Plus, there are certain things you just don't forget. They're just etched in your memory forever. And so it really wasn't that hard to write the book from a memory standpoint. But I wrote it on my own because I felt like I wanted to at least to do my part in trying to help the world understand how hard it is for the person on the ground to do the actual fighting. And it's really not about politics at all. It's about how hard it is to fight a war for the people that are actually doing the fighting. And you can watch all the movies you want, but they don't cut it. I grew up on war movies, and I thought there was glory and good things in every war, and that's just absolutely not true. It's a dirty, filthy, stinking business. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I wanted to do what I could to help people understand that.
Well, you know, like I said, it's here in front of me. It's called Kilo 3, and if people did want to buy it, they can. I mean, I bought this from Amazon. Yes. Can they get it anywhere else?
Get it at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles. Those are the two most obvious outlets, but you can also order it direct from the publisher, Outskirts Press. But Amazon's easiest, and okay. You can get it in hardback, softback, or you can get the ebook version too, the Kindle version, which is only $4.99 for the. It's very cheap.
Yeah. But, well, I've got the soft version here. But as I said to you, we connected a few months back, didn't we? And I said to you, look, I don't read. I'm not ashamed of that. I don't read. but I have bought the book, and I'm going to do my best. I'm not very good. I'm feeling a bit of confidence though, so I'm going to give it a go. I just want to take a little part from the back of the book and just share it here. So it says, this book is honest, graphic, and yet enlightening. Ending positively. For those interested in understanding the Marine Corps and the horror of personal ground combat contrasted with the bright lights and facades of Washington politics, this book will not disappoint. There we go. I actually did quite well there.
You did quite well. Congratulations.
But I think that there, that snippet that I just read from the back of the book will hopefully... make others want to go out there and purchase it and read for themselves. So it's a really, really cool book. What I've skimmed through it, and who knows, maybe it's the book that makes me read from cover to cover.
Well, it's got a lot of pretty pictures in it too.
Okay. Oh, maybe I'll just start there. Fantastic. Well, Richard, Rick, I kind of like both your names. It's been a real honor to have you on the show, as I said earlier. But I want to kind of like come to the end of the show in this format. And we do this on a lot of the shows, a lot of the episodes. And that is to give you the opportunity right now to give any words of wisdom or advice for anybody that's thinking of joining the military in their country.
Well, follow your dreams. If you want to join the military, by all means, join the military. It is so perfect for so many people, especially those that are a little rowdy and undisciplined. It's a great place, and I have nothing but the highest regards for the military. So if you're thinking about joining the military, then you should do so. It's a great honor to serve, and it will be with you for the rest of your life. So my advice would be is if they have an interest, they should join.
They should join. Yeah, great advice. And for our veterans around the world, be that ones maybe just about to transition back to civilian life or veterans that have been out for a while, do you have any advice from your time as a civilian, as a veteran?
Well, it's really no different. My time, their time, future time. Vets are all suffering the same way. And the best thing you can do is talk to other vets. If you're having a hard time, don't hesitate to reach out and talk to vets, even one-on-one. Be careful about talking to civilians that don't understand. Now, if you have a loved one that you can talk to, a mom, dad, wife, et cetera, that's probably a little different. But even then, you have to be somewhat guarded in what you talk about. So don't hesitate to reach out. All veterans suffer the same, especially those that have been in combat. So don't be embarrassed about it. You're not alone. We all have the same problem, and it is possible to overcome it and to lead a normal life.
Some great advice there, Rick. Thanks so much. I like calling you Rick. It makes me feel like I'm one of your old pals.
All right. Good.
Awesome. Well, Rick, as I said, great to have you on the show. And I just want to say thank you for sharing what you've shared today and the experiences you've gone through.
Well, thank you for having me, Gav. I really enjoyed talking to you, and I really appreciate what you're doing. What you're doing is very important. So just keep going at what you're doing and hang in there.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And lastly, thank you for your time. Thank you for giving me some of your time today. We do not have infinite amount of it. So thank you for doing that today for me.
You're certainly welcome. And thank you for your service too.
No problem. You just stole my last little bit there. I wanted to thank you for your service. Thank you.
I beat you to it.
Yeah, thank you for your service, Rick.
Thank you.
This has been Military Veterans Podcast. Out.